I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched the 1936 Happy Harmony short, To Spring. Who would like to give a brief spoiler-free plots or a brief plot synopsis? Spoilers don't matter that much.
I will give the brief plot synopsis. To Spring starts with a very nature-focused intro. I didn't really notice, but I guess it wasn't flowery or anything. But
there's
we watch as things are starting to melt, and we follow a drop of something melting down to the earth, and it's powering a clock, a season clock that's showing that it's turning into spring. And this wakes up a funky little guy who starts singing a song about how it's spring and people need to get up. And he goes through and he starts waking up his friends, and they start to work. And they're mining pillars of color and processing it into other colors, and then pumping it up to the ground, and then flowers are starting to bloom. And as the flowers start to bloom, a winter cloud starts singing a song about keep blowing snow. And so, and he starts to blow, and it's starting to push the color back and mess up their production. And I think there's maybe another song about having to work. I don't remember, but they work to not make things blow up, and they muscle the lever to fight against winter and grow in spite of his blowing. And he's I'll get you next year. And he goes away. And then it's nice and spring.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
What did we think of this short?
It was cute. It was unexpected. The little, wasn't expecting the funky little characters. It was, and also just kind of a interesting concept, especially with all the tubes and all the kind of chemical mixing and components of it.
It was fine. It was the whole colors thing, I think, is a big indicator of a new process that they get to use, maybe. But it was very Disney, but not quite of that quality. I did really like the funky little guys. The songs were okay. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, in one sense, this is another in a long line of the Happy Harmonies and Harmon and I Sing cartoons in general that is just aping Disney Silly Symphonies. But having watched several of those, some of which I think were decent, this was my favorite from this year, certainly. And I think that is more than anything because of the fresh blood and directors. This isn't actually directed by Harmon and I Sing. This short was actually the first cartoon to be directed by the future cartoon giant William Hanna, along with animator Paul Fennell. William Hanna of Hanna-Barbera, who would go on to make Tom and Jerry in the 40s, and then obviously later made Hanna-Barbera Studios, from which a whole host of characters that are still with us today came forth. Mm-hmm. Thank you for Scooby-Doo, William Hanna. this is his first time directing, co-directing with someone. I think he lent, maybe we can figure it out during this. I don't know what quite he lent it that made it feel a little bit different than just a straight Silly Symphonies take to me. Maybe just because it was not slow and boring. But let's get specific about it.
Okay, in the beginning, the very nature-focused stuff felt very Disney to me.
Definitely.
It wasn't bad or looks like some sort of something that pales in comparison, but there wasn't a lot new. But I did like the little drop kind of dripping and going down leaves on rocks to the clock. And that was a good intro introducing this little creature guy. I really liked his proportions. He wasn't human sized or human proportions, but it didn't feel super weird. They looked good. And then the song was fine. Nothing to write home about, but not terrible.
Yeah, not the kind of song that you're I'm going to re-listen to this, but also not annoying to listen to in any way.
Yeah, and maybe the best guy, it's hard to say between him or the guy who kept trying to put on pants, and that did come back, which was funny. It was a good kind of pull from the beginning. As he's singing, everybody's getting to work except for one guy who's trying, who has one leg in pants, and he can't get his other foot into the other leg for most of the short.
The beginning to me initially sounded and kind of looked and had the vibes of, and I'm not sure who, so you'll have to tell me, Danica, who this was. But the short that we watched where Spring and then the devil popped up from the ground and took her underground.
That was a Disney Silly Symphony.
Okay. Okay. That's what almost the sound of it and everything and the look and kind of reminded me of. But after talking, it also was reminiscent of the opening of like Snow White or something like that. But yeah, I feel like very Disney-esque, very beautiful. I do love the animation with the water, even like some of before you had followed the one drip down into the earth, you had water, you know, the snow melting, but even like from branches, snow melting from the branches into the water and the way the water would, you know, pull and you know, the drips would expand or sorry, the water rings would expand.
Yeah.
Just anyway, very nice animation. I loved the big toe and the feet on these little men, these little creatures. And then I also liked, it was just funny, just their little arms and legs exposed. It was almost like they're all wearing kind of like a pull on, plastic diapers, you know, that kind of, you know, whatever. I don't know the kind of, anyway. But it was unexpected in the sense that I think what was enjoyable to me is all of the different things they did to not only chip away and harness the colors, like you were talking about from these pillars, but you know, how they would, you know, yeah, mix them and then they would go into these tubes. I'm not quite sure how everything worked because you had like these almost like beaker tall looking beaker things, you know, when it bubbling forth, but then you had this elaborate pipe system that went up, but you never really saw how those beakers and that the paints whatever bubbling up connected to this long pipe system that went up to the
they give you like enough to see this affects that, but you don't know the workings. And I think that works okay in that it does add to the like fantastical quality of it. It's like there's these little guys that live underground. They're doing some funky stuff with color and color mixtures that they're sitting up into the earth, and that's making Spring. I don't know how that works, but you go, little guy.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, and I think what for me is separating this from even some of the lesser Silly Symphonies themselves, and especially the Harmon and Ising imitations, is the pacing and having just enough conflict. I guess, like, for instance, one of the ones that I considered having here, which I think I'm, if I recall correctly, I'm not going to show. If not, me talking about it isn't really spoiling anything. But there's a short that's basically two little cute puppies harass a chicken. That's basically the whole short. And it's relatively entertaining, but like they're just running hither and yon in a yard, causing some chaos and commotion, bothering this poor chicken. And there's different silly things that happen, and it's fairly entertaining throughout, but it just sort of ends, you know? Like there's not really much of a build up to a thing. I think maybe the chicken scares them a little bit, but it's not like a terribly satisfying conclusion. And I think this does a decent job, at least for me, of it starts with that kind of nature thing and then fairly quickly moves into, okay, there's these funky little guys. What are they doing? And you're watching what they're doing, and it's transitioning from scene to scene, never lingering terribly long, letting you see all the weird mechanics and things that they're doing here. And just about when you're like, okay, this is kind of neat, but I'm getting a little tired of this. It's like, oh, we're back up here. Winter's coming. And now he's trying to stop them from doing their thing. And you're like, oh, but I like them doing their little thing. And then stuff starts like, and it starts like the liquid's like overflowing and they're having to work through it. The guy still can't get his pants on, but he's running. And you're like, I want these little guys to succeed. And they manage to succeed. And then the short ends. And it's like, it's not like the most amazing, arresting piece of art, but it never really like allows itself to repeat things in a repetitive, annoying way, whether it be actual animation or like concepts. It keeps kind of moving, and it knows when to be like, okay, this is enough of the showing you them doing their stuff. Now here's a conflict, and they're resolving the conflict, and then it's over. Like it almost has like a machine quality to it of like how it flows so nicely and never really gets boring for me. It ends before it can get boring.
Yeah, no, I agree, because even the little bit of animation that they would repeat, like the way the pipes worked when first you see it working and it creating these flowers in the color of spring and, you know, spring, you know, blooming all on the earth, and then Old Man Winter or whatever they called him, Winter coming back, trying to prevent it. Then you do see some of the machine, you know, in it backing up, and there was a little bit of repetition, but like you said, it flowed, and it was in the sense of the story, and it didn't linger too long. I like how you phrase that, because that is correct. I feel like this kept a fairly decent pace.
There wasn't like times where there was like three or four loops of the same animation with nothing interesting enough happening in that animation to be worth seeing different bits of it that are like... It keeps a pace up.
Yeah. And if I was going to say maybe anything that maybe went on a little bit, because I wasn't quite sure where is this going, what is this leading to, was maybe the opening and the nature scene going, because it was almost like a movie opening. And I'm kind of like, okay, where is this going? But about the time, I will concede that it kept moving forward. And about the time, I'm just like, okay, where is this going? Who's going to even be in this? Then that drop hits, and then you start getting interested in following this drop, go all the way down all of these rocks, and it's just really pretty. And interesting.
It feels like a really good sense of like, we want to take the time to set up this scene, but we don't want to bore people, and we don't want to like use animation shortcuts so much that it is repetitious and annoying. Yeah, I don't know.
They used that kind of repetition for the guys working on the production, but it just was filling out the space and showing like, oh, there's a bunch really hard at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really to kill time, but to show that it's like everybody here, there's a lot of people. We do the crushing of the thing. We do the mining. We do the moving from one place to another. So it wasn't undermining the short.
Yeah, what you said about wasting time, it really does feel so often in lesser cartoons that are trying to do the silly symphony thing that like they waste time to try to fill the like 7 to 10 minutes that's expected of a short, and they'll just kind of go through the motions and be like, oh, we need some more time. Let's throw this random concept in here. Let's cut to some birds doing a little dance just to fill up more time, you know? And sometimes that feels like they get overly proud of their animation cycle. So they're like, let's loop it like 4 times to make sure you really see it. And it's like, no, like have faith enough in your animation that once or twice is it to get the idea of what's happening and we go, you know?
I also really enjoyed how Valerie, you mentioned that it came back to the little guy putting on his pants, and like there weren't things that were introduced and then it didn't have a follow through. So I really liked that because, and I wasn't really expecting, you know, it had cut back to this little guy a few times in the scenario, as far as still
cuts to him around 3 times.
Yeah.
There's the first time you see him, then you see a whole bunch of stuff happening, and then at the point where Father Winter starts causing trouble, there's the reaction shots from everybody, and it includes him, and you're like, oh, he's still dealing with his pants situation.
yes. And so never at the first 2 times, I guess what I'm saying,
yeah,
I wasn't expecting that he was going to be one of our little protagonists or one of the ones that solve the problem.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I can't fully get this pant leg on, going to do it over my shoulder, and I'm going to run. I got to go help the other guy with that lever.
The pant guy was funny. You know, he's trying to put on pants, but like nobody else has pants on, by the way.
I know.
And maybe that's why. Maybe yeah. they struggle.
Yeah. yeah. Like, at most, maybe one guy has a thing that looks kind of like a jumpsuit. Like, he has a top and a bottom or a one-piece situation. Most of the other guys just have a bottom, like you said, like a diaper or some kind of bloomers. But no, this guy wants pants. He's having trouble.
He's having trouble.
Maybe it's their big little toes. Maybe his big toe keeps getting in the way. No, I don't know.
It feels like he can't even like get his second foot into the waist.
We should also, because I don't think we've explicitly said it, this film is in Technicolor, and William Hanna and Paul Fennell really want you to know that. They are like, these little guys, what do they mind? They mind like rocks or something. And those rocks are the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
And they put them in carts and move them over to things that make it gush and flow the colors of the rainbow. Like, it's just so... Hey, look at all the color that we can have.
Yeah.
And like... Honestly, yeah, it looks nice. Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. You get, like, this is probably why you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fine. It's not too over the top.
And again, it doesn't linger on it so long without any change that you're like, okay, I get it. It's in color. It's like, oh, it's in color and it's this big rock pillar. Oh, it's in color and it's these little waterfalls. And now they're in these weird bubbly tubes. And, like, it moves from thing to thing, you know?
And I think they do a good job. So yeah, like, they're pushing the color out, and Jen mentioned, like, these pipes, and you can see the color flowing through it, and it's flowing out, but then Winter is trying to push it back in, and I think they do a good job communicating that in, like, a scene where that could be hard, because it's bubbles flowing.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't know if this was the quality of what we had, but the Winter guy was kind of underwhelming. He's like a cloud, and he has a face, and he's talking, but his arms are like just little cloud arms. I wish they were either more defined, if he feels underdesigned. And I didn't like his song that much. It was hard to understand him.
And yeah, there's like a fuzziness kind of too, that the quality that I have is like DVD quality. To my knowledge, there's not like Blu-ray quality, but most of it still looks relatively sharp to make out the details. But when the Winter guy comes, anytime it's his shots of him or like the ground as he's blowing stuff on it, it's kind of like blurry and a little bit of a visual soup. I imagine that looks at least a bit better in the original version of it, but it is, like, so stark between that and the other shots that it does feel like there's some sort of effect they're probably trying there that might be just not that visually pleasing. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to say without, like, having this in kind of an even more restored quality.
From what I could tell, he still felt underdesigned in a way.
Yeah, that criticism won't change regardless.
Yeah. And again, with the song, it was hard to hear him. So, like, I couldn't catch some of the stuff he was saying.
Yeah.
They communicated it well with what you were seeing, that he's like, no, no spring. I want it to keep being winter. But I was maybe a bit more disengaged when his parts were showing.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about, I really loved the character designs of these little creatures, but I also really loved the nature designs. I loved the depiction of winter and the beauty of, like, the flowing, you know, babbling brooks and rivers and the trees and the snow on the trees. And then at the end, when they finally succeeded and had it be spring and pushed Father Winter back, it was, the flowers were beautiful. And they had a variety of flower types that were really well done. And then the cherry blossom trees, it was just beautiful. And then they had where it kind of ended was cherry blossom petals, you know, falling on the water, you know, similar to how the melting snow and the drops fell onto the water. It was cherry blossoms. And it was really beautiful.
There was one, I think a scene that was kind of disparate from the rest, when the guy was singing to everybody to, like, wake up or whatever, and they showed a real close-up of his face with, like, these detailed shadows. That was, like I said, pretty disparate. It felt kind of, I don't know, it reminded me of the CDI stuff, just, like, a big jump from what you're visually used to.
Yeah, it was clearly an animator flex, but I think it tried too hard.
Yeah,
it was This is just a little more off-putting than anything.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? The main thing I guess I'll say is these are all little, like, brown creatures with fairly defined lips. I don't get the sense that they're meant to be offensive, but I'm not necessarily going to begrudge anybody, especially, you know, someone who actually has brown skin, if they're a little uncomfortable with it. That's the main thing that I could kind of see being a potential problem for people.
Yeah, I guess since it wasn't contrasting different groups, these were just these guys looking pretty similar. Not like all the same, but I didn't have a problem with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's clearly light enough that, like, it didn't even necessarily occur to y'all. So
yeah.
I think most people are probably not going to be bothered, but I could see someone potentially being bothered.
Yeah, initially I was like, is this the Seven Dwarves? I didn't, you know, I'm not quite sure.
This came out in 1936, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarves came out in 1937. Mm. This beat them to it.
Ah, so I wonder if they got some of their designs, because
Snow White was a movie that had been in production for a while, yeah, so probably
it,
not.
Got it.
But
yeah, that's kind of the vibe I had. I didn't get the...
Yeah, I mean, they have brown skin.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to hop back to story. I was just thinking that I missed what I wanted to say about... I think the conflict of it was a bit weak, even though there was conflict. I wonder if having a more central spring representative, if you did a spring, like, lady, like a Mother Nature against the winter, where the guy, she's like, you know, oh, help, or whatever. I don't know.
It feels a little needlessly complicated to me.
Perhaps.
I think it's fairly straightforward of it's that guy versus these guys. I'm not saying it's the best, but I'm saying that particular suggestion feels like it's maybe adding too much complexity.
Yeah, but I guess the, like, oh, let me blow the color back in the ground feels a little weird.
Yeah, and I guess to make it clear with what I was saying earlier, it's not like I think this is amazing high art or that was the best possible conflict, but I think there is a certain degree to which it's like, okay, we're done showing you this. Now here's a conflict.
Yeah.
That's, like, at least engaging enough to get you through the rest of the cartoon. Sure. You know, that's kind of the sense to me.
It's straightforward. You understand it. I think just, you know, thinking a little too much about it kind of ruins it.
Which, sure. Yeah. You know,
whatever. But there could have been just one or two more rounds of working through the story to maybe make the conflict a little more compelling.
Really pop.
Yeah.
Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in the cartoon?
I think that close-up, that was kind of jarring.
Yeah. For me, I think I'm going to say any of the shots of Father Winter, just because it's blurry, and I don't know, I can't tell for sure if that's a problem endemic to the cartoon or to the version of it I have.
That's fair.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to also say, the scenes with Father Nature... Or no, Father Winter, whatever.
Yeah. Who was your...
Was he called Father Winter in the thing?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
What was your favorite moment in the cartoon? I think it's going to be when Pants Guy...
Yeah.
When he comes to save the day and you're like, oh, he's going to do it. He's coming. He doesn't have those pants on, but he is coming to help.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, oh, that's wonderful.
No, I agree. Because he's like, I can't get the pants. Like, I still got to go. I'm not going to take them off, where they're just, as is, we're running.
Yeah.
And then you see them slowly, like, losing his pants, but he never fully does.
Yeah, yeah.
The pants, when he's, like, helping with the latch, they're still in the water.
Yeah, it's still, like, barely hanging on to his foot, yeah.
It's a nice little detail to take through the scenes. I liked it.
I will agree. Pants Guy was so cute and unexpected. Visually, I loved the very end with all the flowers and the cherry blossom trees, but... You know, gotta have the action in there. I think Pants Guy, you know, edges it out.
Who was your least favorite character?
Father Winter.
Yeah, Father Winter.
Yeah, I agree.
What a rude dude.
Winter, I don't know.
Who was your favorite character? Pants Guy.
Pants Guy.
The main guy's also cool, but I mean, Pants Guy. Come on.
Yeah.
You see Pants Guy and you're like, oh, that's a funny one-off joke. And then he comes back and then he's helping. You gotta root for Pants Guy.
I think so, yeah.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
I'll recommend it. I think it was a good short. It was entertaining. Nothing egregious to me. For a rating, I think I'll give it a solid 3. I'd watch it again. There's some fun stuff. I'm maybe leaning a little 2.75 just because of the winter stuff. But I think it was minimal enough in the short that I'll go ahead and give it a 3.
No, that I think you landed exactly where I was thinking. I was thinking either high 2s or low 3s. But yeah, I think I'm going to, I would also recommend it because it's cute and entertaining. Unexpected in some ways. I've never had the concept of that spring is created by little men underground, you know, creating color, you know. So anyway, so that was interesting. But yeah, so I'm going to give it a solid 3 as well.
I will also go with a 3. Yeah, I think it's a cute little cartoon. Not the best, but certainly one of the best Silly Symphony ripoffs that I've ever seen. And yeah, seeing kind of where William Hanna starts as a director is fun, too. So looking forward to when he's doing a violent comedy later with the Tom and Jerry.
And I take it you will recommend it.
Yes. Thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you.
Next time, we will be returning to our dear old friend Mickey Mouse in one of his last adventures where he's being a pretty big scamp. And where is he being a big scamp? Why, through the mirror.
Oh.
Join us then. Bye.
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 This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=2790566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening. Let's check this thing. Listen to me scream. Ah!
Okay, that was a little too much. Too much.
I'm going to just say, like, check, like a normal person, and not scream.
And even testing 1, 2, 3, you know?